PM. We'll call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation, Pledge of Allegiance? Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please watch over our community in this weather. Please be with our employees. Please guide your hand over our meeting this evening. And we thank the men who stormed Normandy 75 years ago. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Maybe.
He's going to make up my own pledge.
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Here. Councilmember Layman, Councilmember Wilson, she did contact us, she's out of town. Councilmember Akabaka,
here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge,
here.
Mayor Pierce,
here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens participation. We have no one signed up this evening. So we will move to item 6A, discussion and possible action. Workshop, presentation, discussion, possible action on the City of Kirby employee pay scale, city departments, and positions. We'll turn this over to our city manager.
All right, Mayor and Council, just to, one, provide a little bit of history of how we got to our current pay scale. Just in the last few years since I've been here. So we started in May of 2015, where Council approved a 6% across the board salary increase for all employees, because at that time we did not have a pay scale implemented. So that was approved while we continued to work on putting together a pay scale. So we implemented our first employee pay scale in 2016. And then that pay scale, which you have a copy of in front of you, was revised in February of 2018. And what we did in revising it that year is that 3% was added all the way across the scale in each step. And another thing to keep in mind is when we first implemented the pay scale, we looked at every single employee, and that was back in 2016. And so what we did at that time is we spent $55,835.52 to implement the pay scale. And so that allowed us to bring all of the current employees who were below the start of that scale up to their current step. We started everybody at the starting year as opposed to their years of service and skill level, because that would have doubled the cost to implement it. So we started everybody at year one, and then that allowed everyone to start fresh and move up. So there were, at that time, 25 employees who received a change, 5 employees who were maxed out of that scale, 8 employees who exceeded the step where they should have been, so they did not move, and then 3 employees that were considered properly classified. So that's how we started, and then since that point, as people progress, they're able to move up the scale based on additional certifications, trainings, and so forth. And so in addition to the pay scale steps, we have also been implementing a cost of living effective the start of every fiscal year. So for the last 4 fiscal years, sure, there's been a 3% cost of living that's taken effect October 1st of each year. So all employees receive that outside of the actual pay scale. So one of the things that I would like for us to consider this year, instead of looking at an across-the-board cost of living adjustment, is that we look at just adjusting our current pay scale, and then we still have the option of merit-based pay, which is in our current personnel policy, where at annual evaluations, it does allow supervisors to recommend, based on performance, a merit increase of some sort. We have not determined an amount for that. I know in prior years, looking at the research, there's been a range where you could get anywhere from 2 to 6%, depending on, you know, what the evaluation score was. We could look at implementing it that way, or we could just look at you know, a certain pot for department and determine that, or we could do it on a case by case, depending on, you know, the performance level and what the supervisors recommending. So before we go into like looking at each department pay scales, one of the things that I wanted to talk about are some of the recommendations that staff is proposing for next fiscal year. And we really just want to get council direction tonight, more in a workshop format, of what things you would consider supporting. That way we can bring back actual dollar amounts for these recommendations. So you have a copy of those recommendations, and we'll start with the fire department, because staff has had a preliminary meeting with representatives from ESD number 11. And our current agreement for the ESD is going to expire in September 30th of this year. And what they are proposing is that we renew that agreement for 3 years, but you add that 3 years onto the end of this agreement. So for example, they would like to renegotiate it July of this year. They're gonna get their attorneys to draw up the draft document and give it to council hopefully in June. It would take effect in July, but then it would go 3.5 years really of an extended agreement. They currently are paying us $550,000 a year, and that is covering 3 firefighters per shift plus the full-time supervisor, which is our assistant fire chief. What they are requesting is that they add 1 more firefighter per shift, and they would bill the cost for that position in there. So they would have 4 on a shift plus the assistant fire chief position. And by adding those persons to the shift, we'd also want to create a lieutenant, because the way we're structured now, we have, at our station, we have a captain on every shift. At that station, when the assistant fire chief is not present, there's technically no supervisor of the shift. So the lieutenant position would be the supervisor on every shift in the ESD. And so that's a recommendation. Those first two really would be tied directly to the cost in the contract. They would cover those. Anybody else? Questions or feedback on that piece of the ESU?
Nope, that's a good deal.
The next recommendation was we touched on in the last council meeting when Officer Thompson gave her presentation was we would suggest hiring another full-time code enforcement officer, which would bring that staff to 2, allow them to split the city down Benz Engelman Road, and both do exactly the same things for each section of the city. Because right now, the code officer does the warning and the enforcements, all of the administrative tasks, which includes typing the letters, sending out letters, the follow-up inspections, filing of liens down at the courthouse, dismissing of liens, and all of the documentation in the online tracking system. So we think at least 2 people both doing those same things, but having their own section of the city would help us to be a bit more effective, especially with some of the new things that we're implementing through building and standards right now, which are going to require public hearings and additional follow-up and letters to be able to take care of some of these more, you know, dilapidated homes. Okay. Next one. Currently, our animal services division falls under the police department. And my suggestion would be starting October 1 is to move animal services to be a standalone department that will report directly to the city manager. Because the police department has, if you look at the, I gave you a copy of our current organizational chart, mm-hmm. The police department already has multiple divisions that they're supervising, so this would free them up from that one task. But in doing that, I'd like to hire an animal services manager. So in our current fiscal year, we have 4 positions budgeted right now. We have 4, it's an animal control officer and 3 kennel tech positions that are budgeted. But that was still, you know, when we were joint, with some of those costs being covered by Bexar County. But we have not amended our budget yet to take that out. So what the suggestion would be is to amend the budget so that we have the 1 manager position and 3 technicians. But those technicians, ideally, we'd like for them to be certified animal control officers also, so that they can rotate the on-call, and that way they're all cross-trained and everybody would have equal days off. You wouldn't have the same person working weekends or evenings all the time. So we would give, we only have one certified ADCO right now, so we have the two new employees who were already informed that we'd like for them within a year to try to get, become certified animal control officers. In the administration department right now, our structure, we have water utility billing, and we have municipal court. Those two divisions are directly supervised by Tracy, who's our administrative assistant, and so would like to do just a title change, and because she's supervising them, and make that position title the administrative services supervisor, and just on that scale, you know, you'd have that position, and then just have court and utilities fall under it. So it's already structured that way. It would just be a title change to make it more in line with her job duties. We also have in our current fiscal year a part-time custodian position. That position technically reports to the public works director. It's been that way for about 3 years now. They clock in at public works. They report directly to the public works director, but the funding was never moved from under the administration department. I think that was a carryover from when we used a contract cleaning service. So the suggestion would be just to line that up more properly, is to move that position under public works. Ideally make it a full-time position slash facility maintenance person, but if for budget constraints we can't do that, we can keep it as a part-time position. It is currently posted right now. We've had a right now, the public works employees are rotating those duties as is. So we would like to try and get that position filled. But I do think that there's enough for that person to do if they were here full time, and in addition to the custodial duties, be able to do facility maintenance, so some of the minor repairs and things on our buildings. And it would fall under the Parks Division. Suggestions that pass for upcoming fiscal year. It costs for them, it was 20 hours a week, so they go into each of the departments, police, public works, admin, they pick up trash, clean the restrooms, sweeping, mopping, dusting, vacuuming, cleaning the kitchen areas. Actually, they do that in all of the facilities right now except the fire department, because it's part of the fire department's duties, they do their own cleaning. But they do clean, the part-time custodian also cleans the dispatch area.
Do you think that, there would be enough cleaning?
Well, if we made it a dual position where they also did facility maintenance. So, like, right now there are things that Public Works takes care of, such as installing shelves, changing air conditioning filters, ceiling tiles, you know, some minor repairs, things that we don't contract out. So we pull guys who mow the grass,
replacing ceiling tiles and putting up shelves.
I would be enough duties for them to cover.
I would just be afraid to make the position full time, and then there's not enough work, or you're finding busy work for this person. That's my only issue.
Well, yeah, I agree with that to a point, but then again, if you're pulling somebody that he's got working and doing something out in the field to come in and fill to do that, then you're defeating your purpose. I'd rather have a little more. I'm quite sure there's a lot of other things that a multi-person can do, like leaky faucets, things like, I'm sure they're always around. It's just a matter of not so much busy work, but I hate to see a guy be pulled off the middle of mowing the grass or something to come in and replace and to do stuff like that. So it's a catchphrase, and I'll tell you probably the reason you're having a problem filling it is honestly, and I think we've discussed this before, is most people that are mature enough are looking for a full-time position as opposed to a part-time. You know, and if you made it full-time with benefits, you probably would get a person, hopefully.
And we have had that happen. I think the last two that we interviewed.
Yeah,
I
kind of figured that.
Even though it's part-time, they applied, and they still said that they weren't interested. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's that's one of those catches. I think that maybe the thing to do, you know, it's like anything else, is try it and see where we're at. And, you know, because the next budget comes up, you've got only a year to deal with it and see how it works. If it doesn't work, then we can change it. But if we give it the opportunity to work and see, you know, like anything else, it's a little bit more, but... I think it's we would get a quality person as opposed to someone who's just looking for part-time work. And I did want to ask one thing on the code compliance officers. If they moved over, would they still maintain their commission as an officer? They would?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, for code, we still want to be
That's yeah, because having done that job, yeah, you need that extra authority to be able to go in and handle business.
With that being said, if both of them are peace officers, what are the chances that they're going to get pulled off of their code compliance duties to be a police officer?
Right now, the only time Officer Thompson is pulled off of her code stuff, if there's a shots fired call, officer needs assistance. There have been some other special projects that we have used her on. We just had a major FBI DPS CGIS inspection dispatch. She was real instrumental in assisting me with that. But normal day to day, it does not happen as often as we think it does.
I don't have a thought one way or the other. I was just curious because I know that that's sometimes what happens with any position.
It does.
That it starts out one way and then it kind of migrates into something else. So
with her, we have the same situation with the warrant officer, Officer Caldwell. Again, he does not, he's not in the call rotation, he doesn't respond to calls. The only time he gets pulled off is if it's one of those hostile where everybody's going into it. It's even less likely for him to be pulled off. And now, well, we were actually fully staffed on the patrol, and the canine officer and Jake are not attached to patrol anymore, too, so there's going to be less and less of an opportunity for him to get pulled off. Again, unless it's a drug-related call, the officer would need assistance with the dog. It's got to be something like that, and then the occasional shots fired if there's an officer is having a hard time manually controlling the suspect prior to an arrest. Officer needs assistance type calls. But neither one of the three officers that we have that have independent functions are routinely pulled off to do other things. But sometimes it does happen.
Well, I would say this, if we're going to implement what I think we're going to implement with the city with the, oh, I'm sorry. If we're going to implement the codes similar to the city of San Antonio where you have the hearings and stuff, then it would be good to have two officers because one of them is going to have to, you got to be there for the hearing. You got to file the paperwork down at the city. And I'm telling you, you just don't walk, city of San Antonio, not the city, the county, excuse me, right? Anyway, the deal for, when you go in to do that, you get in a line. So yeah, it would be that way. One officer is always here. So it's just, you know, again, There's so many houses out here I'd like to see kind of go away. And it's, like I said, that's a lengthy process. And it's a lot of paperwork and time involved, unfortunately. But if we're going to get rid of some of these houses, short of them falling down in a room, yeah. So it's just a thought, but because I participated in those hearings.
Oh, no, I understand that. I mean, they don't. We had a code enforcement officer that wasn't a peace officer either. So, I mean, I get that. I was just curious.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's,
as to what the chances are that
that person
would be pulled off, because, I mean, it does happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, vacation. Oh, well, this person is a peace officer, so, hey, we can.
When it comes to vacation and training days and sick times.
Sorry, the microphone is right there. I can't see your head.
Sorry.
It's not you.
Specifically preclude Thompson, Caldwell, and Murphy from filling those type of shifts. Those were using reserve officers like Fulkarski and Conley. They're coming in and filling those shifts. And the other, those three officers, they're out doing what they're doing. That has always been the case with Caldwell. Thompson, he does assist in additional duties a couple of times a month in the property room and balancing that out, property destruction and that sort of thing. But that only happens 2-3 times a month, which that has potential to pull away from code. Murphy now, we're actually completely fully staffed, 100% trained for about 4 weeks, and then we had an officer. But that one position down would not be enough to pull the canine back. But as of that time, it was right about April 15th or so, Murphy's been completely separate from patrol and is functioning as his own independent canine command.
And the animal service manager, would that manager be an ACO as well, or we're just talking the three? It doesn't have to be.
I wouldn't make that person that.
Okay.
I want them to deal more with the administrative tasks.
That's why I was asking too, because for the same reason, if you're an ACO, you can be full boss.
Yeah,
and
we've had that happen where you've really difficult to
right.
So I would expect that person to take care of their budget, their purchase orders, their answering phones, adoptions, dealing with those types of things.
You mean what JC was supposed to? Oh.
Nice. So what about the, so you had mentioned on the code enforcement stuff about the administrative part. Is there anything of that the secretary can, the police secretary or anything can?
I know right
handle
now.
Those?
Handled by the code officer.
Right, and I was just curious.
That,
I'm just saying, because if it's paperwork.
Delegated to?
That is something that we could look at, but she has a pretty full agenda with, she's taking care of the NIDERS and the UCR reporting and the racial profiling. That's why we brought on the part-time records clerk, was to assist her with some of the more filing stuff, because she does, like all of the monthly productivity reports is all generated by her. We can look to see if it's an additional duty she can take on, but her plate is pretty well full as well.
I was just curious, since that's, since you were making the comment as far as the paperwork. And the three firefighters, as far as that for the EMT and the ESD, is that still keep us equipped? I mean, we're hiring for ESD, but.
Right.
It wouldn't affect any of our current staff. We are currently full staff in our station, so all we would do is hire new people to fill these positions at the ESD.
So how many times do we not have people at our station?
At our station, we always maintain a volume of 4 people there all the time. At our station, 2 EMS and then you have 2 fire on the backup. Then out in the county, you have the 3 that are there after Williams. Williams are 8-5 Monday through Friday, and then once he leaves at 5, then there's 3 that remain there. So there's always
station.
We can always use people, man. But
okay, well, it's not on here, so I'm just asking. I mean, so it says recommendations, but you're not on there. It's CST.
No, I mean, I think with the four that we have here, we're okay, because if it were something major to happen here in the city, those four from out there, as the three from out there now, come into the city. So, you know, if there's something that starts fire, something going on here, we don't have just the four here. We have four plus the three out there, and the district is waiting there. We've gone out fire out in the county with all of us there. I mean, there was eight of us, or two, there was four. Yeah, there was nine of us there. So we were all there. You know,
so
the same thing. Something happens here. I'm sorry?
As if we've had multiple calls, but now you're telling me we've taken everybody out of the city of Kirby?
Yes.
The city of Kirby
yes.
Fire Department?
And by the same token, we've had stuff here in the city, and everybody from the county and the EST is all come over here.
So when we have multiple calls?
When we have multiple calls?
Yeah.
Then stuff is broken up accordingly. I mean, there will be people that will respond either in a first responder capacity or in a backup EMS capacity. Or in the fire capacity, it's all dependent upon the situation at that time as to what happens.
Who do we have mutual interlocal agreements with? What other departments?
All of our surrounding area departments. Bexar County ESD number 10, the City of Converse, the City of Live Oak, University City, China Grove to the south, St. Hedwig. Further south, Live Oak, Windcrest, everybody. We're all in a mutually agreement with everybody here. So,
okay.
That fire that we were talking about when we went, there was nine of us, and there were like seven more from eight neighboring departments. So there was a total of like 17 of us on the fire, which a couple years ago was unheard of.
Right.
You know, you'd have five departments bringing that in. This was two departments. We had 17.
And Tracy's position, is that an exempt or non-exempt?
It's not.
It's not exempt. Is it generally that somebody has a supervisory title that's...
No, it's just the way that one is structured, because
we kind of
did the logistic move of the reporting, but didn't make any actual changes to the position yet.
I'm not touching anything.
It's my electrical presence.
What we've gone past this list, if we have, what do you feel as far as the increasing salary? Tell me again, what do you recommend, or does the staff recommend? I like the incentive plan, actually. Uh-huh.
Go since he's already standing up and just talk about
just to say
okay, that's okay.
That's obviously it's not it.
No.
Okay.
So like if you look at the current pay scale, I mean, but if you go to the police department under their current pay scale, our starting pay right now for a pretty basic officer, somebody that's fresh out of the academy, no experience.
Less than 1 year experience.
Less than a year, it's $12.88 an hour.
actually proposing? And then I'll let you explain.
What I'm actually proposing when it pertains to the police officers is taking a starting pay of $12.88 an hour and bringing that up to $15 an hour. Now, that's not an arbitrary number that I came up with.
Ma'am, did they get a copy?
No. Okay. So what I have been doing for the last couple of years is a salary survey of the police departments just within the ACOG area. And what I have found right now, the average entry level starting position for an officer with no experience right out of the academy across ACOG right now is $20.62. That was as of the survey that ended on May 17th when I had to turn in this paperwork to the city manager. Since then, there's been some departments that have posted, most recently the city of Universal City was posting an opening at $21.65 an hour. On the 31st, they reposted and took the $21.65 an hour and bumped that up to $22.30 an hour. Now, that is, like I said, that's ACOG-wide, that is the average. At 1288, we've had a hard time recruiting and retaining officers. When they go up the road to Converse, as of the 17th of May, Converse was starting officers at $20.15 an hour. So I try hard to get good quality officers and retain good quality officers. So I came up with the number $15 an hour, would still, based on the survey, would still put us at, it's still the lowest paid agency within the ACOG area. But it would do wonders to help recruit and retain those quality officers. Generally right now, I keep an officer about 18 to 24 months. That's been historically over my tenure as chief. Most recently, when we were talking about code enforcement, it was about as of April 15th, Officer Monica Lynette came off.
this is something that we're looking at with all of the department pay scales. Like right now on our current pay scales, they're absolute numbers. Step one, two, three, and so on. In research in a lot of other cities, it's most of them have a range within that time frame. So that's another thing that we're proposing. Is so like his starting, you know, pay would be 15 for a pre-basic probationary officer or whatever number we come up with. But then within the first 5 years of employment, you're in a range of like between $15 and $17. So it gives an opportunity for some increases based on other options rather than saying you have to be here 15 years before you get to this dollar amount, because that's how our current scale is really set up. And it really doesn't give a lot of people an opportunity to see any progression. It also would give some leeway with hiring people as well. So if they come to us with X number of years experience and a certain skill level, within that range, you could offer them a certain pay as opposed to them just saying, okay, all we're going to pay is $12.88 no matter what, because you're a brand new officer. I think that would make it a little more effective of a skill.
As you can see, I have been talking primarily of police officers, but we did something similar with each of the other departments, including the telecommunicators down in dispatch, the animal care officers in animal services, and code enforcement. We looked at just even across the board a somewhat of an increase in the starting pay. Like right now, we're starting basic dispatchers and kennel techs right at about $10.92 an hour, and I'm looking to bring them up to $11 or $13 an hour, respectively. Just to promote keeping officers and employees here rather than continually going through this rehiring cycle.
Well, the main thing, like I've said before, and it all comes down to this, it's protecting your investments. You know, we keep, and as soon as that investment matures, it's gone. So at some point in time, we're either going to kind of continue to be a training academy, and I know that officers, some good officers even got promoted up to so they would get a better pay and still left. And we've just got to be a little bit more attractive. And I don't say that we have any bad officers at all. I just say I'm tired of training. I've said that the whole time I lived out here. Since I started on the department, it's always been the same thing. And if we don't evolve somehow, some way, this sounds crazy, but this happens a lot. You get an officer who sees very productive in writing tickets. And he's got a whole bunch coming up, and he resigns. Guess what happens to all those tickets?
Dismissed.
They'll go away. That's it. You can't prosecute him. You can't do anything with him. Because he's not going to show up on his own. I guarantee that. And that's just a similarity. But are you getting also involved in a case? Deep. He's real deep into something. And he resigns because he gets a better position. Now you got to start that all over again.
Right. So what do you give up to increase all that?
See, that's Mayor, that's been you're correct.
I was talking to Mike about, I was like, what?
Yeah, I know. What do you?
What do you give up?
Exactly.
Because it's not your. It's not just your department. It's fire. It's
no. It's everybody.
Works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those other cities that you mentioned obviously have a huge tax base as well.
I agree. I don't know. Guess we could plan money tree.
I don't think anyone thinks that somebody shouldn't make, and that's what everybody wishes that we could do. But realistically, we're asking for extra headcount. So that's another whole position in addition to
increasing. You're right. No, I agree.
Pay. So again, it's something has to go.
It's got to give to get.
Right.
I know.
And there's a possibility that it could save even additional money keeping those officers and retaining them, because things that I haven't talked about and didn't include in this is like background checks. You know, I've got to pay the detectives per T-poll requirements. We've got to go out and contact all these other law enforcement agencies.
Oh, yes.
Simply picking up a telephone and making a phone call is not acceptable anymore. You know, we're paying for psychologically time for somebody in the department. I need an oral review board, so I'm pulling officers off of the street or in off duty and paying them extra, if not at an overtime rate, to conduct oral review boards and do the written testing and all of these other things. I would imagine, and I know Hollywood Park did it, and they provided me with the paperwork a couple of years ago, and just what does it cost to hire an officer versus a moderate salary increase to promote retaining an officer. That way you don't have to go, you know, another thing now is weapons qualifications. We got to get them out to the range and make sure, because before we swear them in, they got to have a fresh range date.
Yep.
You know? So now we're adding that to the pre-hire is weapons testing, is getting them out to the range and making sure they're qualified on the handgun, rifle, and shotgun. That costs some range fees. And so it's a big picture that a lot of money that we're spending over the years that we might be able to cut back on and end up saving money, even though it is a little bit of a modest increase.
Yeah, I mean, but again, people's worth ethic doesn't necessarily go in line with what they get paid either. So, I mean, just because we increase people doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to stay or that they're going to work any harder.
No.
You know, or, I mean, and that's what I said. I don't think anybody disagrees that we should or want to increase starting salaries for every department.
Sure.
And unfortunately, that's true with even things that aren't even in emergency services. I mean, it does. It costs a lot to retain employees or to train employees. But at the same token, something's going to have to give, because I'm sure that people right behind you are going to want the same.
And you know, part of why we wanted to have this discussion early on before we even really get into
the
budget.
See what you're seeing, so I don't have whatever you're looking at.
Got all his stats. But it's because we also have our capital requests and other budget requests that are coming. So we are going to have to make some decisions about where we want to make the priorities this year. So we just thought it'd be good to talk about these things before we start crunching all the
But if we are talking about that, is there not anything that people can have? I mean, I know in certain things when there's other proposals made that there's something that has to be done where you have to at least give you have to commit to 6 months in your position, a year in your position. Otherwise, those are things that you have to give back.
Or a contract of employment?
I think Mark went through that before. It's just we can't do that.
Well, there we go with that, too. I'm not putting in that stone that it can't be done either. Just because he said.
Well, no, I will tell you this. I've seen it in private industry because I've signed contracts before.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but...
But not in cities.
So with that starting, you're not using that. This is just current, so
right,
we don't even
right.
know what that looks like with this.
Right. Oh, what the difference is? Now, we do...
I mean, I'm presuming this is step here.
Steps.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This in front is like that step plan. So,
right,
I mean,
the
very first one, that just like takes somebody up already to, like it bypasses five steps if you started in that.
Yeah, so it would be like you'd have to, the scale would be completely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, completely redone. And we're just trying to get a comfortable starting pace, so then we know where to go from there. Because each step is like a range of 3%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've always said that I'm not fond of the way it gets paid anyway. I just because you reach a certain level or you've been here a certain amount of time doesn't mean you're offering
right.
any.
And so
new
that's why
substance.
We would be proposing a range instead. So if his starting pay was between $15 and $17 an hour, and then it would be, you know, based on your skill levels, years of experience. But just the percentage difference, like our starting pay right now for an officer is $12.88, he's proposing $15. That's really like 16.5% difference.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm saying right now, but the thing is, have we ever had to hire more than, how many positions would you say? Because if we go to $15 an hour, I mean, it sounds like a lot of money, and you're passing these steps. But if you hire only two officers and they stay, then you're pretty well ahead of the curve. I mean, this is not like we're going to hire 12 officers and they're all going to start at 15. Well, most of our officers are way past 15.
Well, but if you have start somebody at 15, one of your intermediate or above at that is 1442. So if you bring somebody in at this, then you're going to have to compensate for all.
Sure, you are.
You're going to have to bump up the level.
That's what I'm
saying. You know, here's the thing. You know, we're not replacing. We're not like San Antonio. We've got 2,000 guys. We're replacing one or two at a time. And it's very, very seldom, and I know this, that you get a guy even coming in here with an intermediate. Most of the time, they're going to come in here with at most a basic. Matter of fact, I even know a chief right now that's still got a basic certificate. In fact, I know a constable, too, that has only a basic certificate that shouldn't be there. But what I'm saying to you is we're looking at money, but you're not looking at a large amount. Like if you hire somebody in at 15 and you're skipping two and you got a guy that comes in, say, with an intermediate and you start him at 17, then you still only got one guy. I mean, it's not like we're hiring 10 people.
You know, going back to when we implemented the first scale in 2016, we had to look at every employee where they were, and you would have to move people.
You'd have to adjust.
You'd have to have a starting point.
Right.
And go from there. Otherwise, it would be too many disparities.
Yeah, when San Antonio.
Scale, remember this, that scale is based on just their what they have. Not anything an employee that goes above and beyond or anything else.
Well, that's why you give a merit raise. That's why you change the situation to a merit raise. That's why the city.
And again, too, we're looking at all these other cities, but nobody's taking into account that these other cities have bigger budgets than we do, and they can afford to pay them. So what I would like to see is their budgets, based on their departments, based on the amount that they're bringing in for those cities and what they're spending on their departments. Because you might figure out they're only spending maybe 1 or 2% and not this godly amount. Just like you just said, San Antonio. How much is San Antonio's budget?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, how much are they paying these officers?
Well, when they went to...
That's what I'm saying. Now, you can take the budget and accordingly put your police pay, fire pay, and everything else there. So, I mean, you can go to San Antonio and immediately start at $54,000. That's if you qualify.
Emergency services, though, just in general, is over half the budget.
Yeah.
And our budget now is over half the
million. Oh, it's 56%. I know that. But what I'm saying to you is eventually, well, I don't want to be if Jerry was here, he'd be the one sitting here longer than me. I will say this for whatever it's worth, and then we got to do what we got to do. This is exactly, for 20 years, exactly the same thing I've heard for 20 years.
Right.
And it's
and
got to change.
How many officers have we added? In the last 2 years?
Pardon me?
How many officers have we added to PD in the last 2 years?
What, about five?
Three.
Three, okay.
So we technically can't sit here and say that because we're trying to add.
Well, no,
but again, with what we have is what we're going to be able to do with.
What I'm saying is, though, again, in fire department's the same thing.
Yeah.
How much do you invest? And how long do you want to keep changing clothes to put it on another person? See, that's the whole thing. John, you should know this because you have the knowledge of this. You get an officer in a small community like this. If he's here 2 years, 18 months, he's developed some pretty good CIs. I mean, there's nobody else in this room, so we all know what we're talking about. And he's got this trust coming. And that's what works in small cities. And that's what keeps a lot of the smaller cities a lot cleaner.
Which was my point, though. You, in addition to chief, there's two other.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. I agree. No, right behind you are the guys that.
I said, we're sitting here talking about police and fire, but we have public works right behind them. That when we turn on our water, that you know we have clean water, and I wouldn't want to go in the chlorinating room. You know.
Oh hell no.
They have to have water. You know, water certs too. I'm just saying it's just like it's across the board, but without seeing that, because we don't have that, we can't even get a true picture right now anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, the chief knows this, and here, anybody, believe it or not, what he has, ACOG maintains all of those. It just takes one call to them, and they'll give you everybody that has to do with the, whatever training they provide, fire and safety, they'll give you everybody's budget.
Right. No, no, no. I'm not saying that. With based on what we have here is what I'm saying. Okay. Like, we don't really see it, but...
Just out of curiosity, just real quick, has QT the first quarter come in yet? Figures? Okay. Well, I just wondered if they did, because they should be here by now. No, I just was wondering, hoping what it was. I guess it's going to be more than a dollar store, though.
It'll cover everything.
Well, I didn't say it covered everything, but I just would like to see, just to get a general idea of what kind of boost. I know it's going to be a decent one. It's not going to be a savior.
So how many, if that was the case, though, and it started out, how many other people above that number would it affect?
I'd have to look at that, probably, off the top of my head, maybe seven, six.
That would be the adjustment, right?
Yeah. Please don't quote me on that.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was just asking.
Actually, there are four, just based on current employees, there are four officers who are at that 1288 starting pay right now. Everybody else is above that starting pay. And they're in a range from like 1352 being the next amount all the way up to 2122.
You go on their time in service.
Positions, some of them are supervisor positions, years of service, that type of thing. And then also every time we've gotten the cost of living, you know, that's moved.
And then there's also longevity pay that gets factored in. That's for everybody, not just.
Right, everybody gets that. Mm-hmm. But in a lump sum. So, I mean, again, we would have to look at, like we did the last time, at every person and then come up with those dollar amounts to fit the scale.
I mean, like I said,
we can do that, you know, crunch those
and
numbers.
And I just think that that would just make more sense so that people, you know, that you can see it on a, I mean, for all the departments, not just,
right.
It's not just police. But because, like I said, we can't see anything other than what it.
Well, let me ask
you. What it's supposed to be or what it would be if person one started here, that had person one that started basic on the second year, you know, that piece of it.
Well, I think something that's going to affect things too is how we decide raises are going to go. I really am in favor of the incentive raise. I really am. I swear, if you want to see somebody perform and somebody, if they know that, look, you set a level, and that's all you can get to, then that's what you're going to perform to.
That's if kind of what I said. If you're next to some of the same person that's got the same, but
exactly.
You're more productive than that person, but you're getting the same thing, then what's the point of you?
Exactly. I mean, we'd be throwing money at Gator if we had 10 Gators.
And I'm sorry, just because you achieve a certain level doesn't mean that you're any more productive than somebody
who
may be at a different level.
You're wholehearted.
Below. I mean... And that's why I said I think that that's why this is so discombobulated, just this whole pay scale, not just with police, but with the whole.
And so let me ask this, because this is helpful for, you know, direction for us. Would the preference be, rather than having a pay scale which is based on
level
and years, would the preference be to have a merit-based pay scale only? Because we really can't have both.
No, you got
to
have one or the other.
Well, can you not say, okay, Chief Alfaro, you got a dollar, then he can break that up to the individuals he has per a merit raise.
So or if they got $2. Yeah, that's what they were doing before I got here.
Right.
Which was met with
that's exactly what was
happening. Because although it sounds good to say that the supervisor is basing that on your performance, kind of looking at it, it was really... Where employees felt it was based on who was preferred.
Then if I just come here, get hired, and sit still and stay here for 20 years, I get moved up.
Exactly.
Whether or not I get a merit raise or not. That doesn't make any sense to me.
But if it's a merit-based skill, rather than, you know, me saying that he has 10% for his whole fire department and he gets to divide that 10% up among all of his employees, it needs to be based on evaluation scores or something that he did.
Well, yeah, that's a merit raise. That's the same thing we're talking about.
But that's not what they were
doing. If they're a really good achiever and they're doing their job, and then you got the guys that are overachievers that are going to go up and above the call of duty. Yes, you've got guys there now, but then he's limited to what he can give him, even though this guy's really doing what he's supposed to do.
Is there a normal merit? I mean, like a normal evaluation process?
Yeah.
So that's not anything new.
Well, that's already in place.
Right. We meant that anyway. And so, again, that's, you know, kind of way it was structured. Was based on that evaluation. Each department had a certain dollar amount or percentage, and they could divide it up among the employees. But my only concern is that there was no criteria, I guess, per se, of
there
how
wasn't.
You get to determine, you know, besides you have me writing this score, but what was it really based on?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, but it's not, it's just meets, mostly meets, fully meets, doesn't meet.
Well, you know, the way it was, what, Lisa?
And I'm only saying that because if it was something that's like that, then you could be a percentage to it. If your officer fell in mostly meets, you know, this mostly meets is based on a 2.5%. You know, or if this person got exceeds, then that one's based on 4%.
Right.
So then it is attached to a percentage. So it's not like you're just giving whatever. You know, I think that was a dollar.
Well, I was
good. I mean, I've been here long enough that I've gone through every type of different type
right.
of merit stuff. You know, there was an initial everybody got a 3% across the board,
which I don't like,
and then. Yeah, everybody got a 3% across the board, and then the supervisor or the department head, Kevin, had the ability to give up to an additional 4, but it was like for a total of 7. But of course, it was always understood that 7 you had to be like walking on water, JC, so that wasn't going to happen. But you had the ability to get the 3, and then you could gather maybe 1 more, 2 more, maybe 3 more, depending upon. I assume at the time what it was is his interpretation of what you were doing, how you were doing.
See,
it wasn't like what he put into place an actual evaluation that we do.
Right.
So we never had that before. It was just, we went in, he just told us, hey, you're getting the 3%, and, you know, I guess it was, I decided you can get 2 more because you do a good job.
So is it the same for, like, is the criteria the same for all departments?
No,
Yeah, for the most part, the same. You're talking about the evaluation that we use?
Yeah, the actual,
yes.
like, the
yes.
criteria for it, like,
yes.
our public works. I mean, obviously, y'all are emergency service. And
yeah, actually, fire and police use the exact same evaluation sheet scoring system. Public works has one, and admin has one. And so they're all at a point where you could set goals, and then at the end of that year, look at where those goals are and score them. And set some kind of merit pay, associate that with whatever the scores are. It's just that, you know, when I got here, I was asked, let's do away with that process because it was based on favoritism and come up with a pay scale so that it's fair.
And who asked that?
That was council.
That was council, but
for Wilson, which I do know, and I've got an original copy, that thing got screwed up. Because just like I mentioned earlier, you take a city's budget, and then you're going to have to do it this way. Now, I agree the evaluation to get your raise and then across the board too, kind of like what Charlie's talking about, but it has to be based on somebody actually doing something. So if you've got a stump on the log and you're not doing anything, I don't even see why you're employed.
Well, I was going to tell you real quick what he said too. 2 city managers back, yes. What happened, a certain percentage, they got a pot, so to speak, okay? And you would actually get called in just like there. You didn't even fill anything out. You were called in by the head of the department, and the department head said, you're getting 3%, you're getting 5%. And so, consequently, that's exactly how the favoritism thing got gone.
Right.
Well,
so then,
that's why we're trying to change.
Yeah,
no,
I'm saying.
But we still need to have something
so
based
then,
on
then
our
we
own
came,
city budget.
Yeah, we came down to the thing that every department had basically the same evaluation sheet, and they were anonymous, so to speak. That's not the word I want to say. Autonomous? Anyway, they're all basically same, you know, on merit, how you did performance merit. And, you know, where the supervisors go in, he didn't really, He sat down with the employee and they did it together, is what I'm trying to say, the evaluation. And the employee, and then the manager agreed to it. And then each one was so many points. And when you reach so many points, then that just
so
depicted what you'd get. No.
They get an opportunity to provide feedback to the evaluation sheet they receive.
Right.
And the only reason I was asking if they were the same is because clearly y'all, I mean, there's different goals or different, I mean, obviously Chief Boyce is going to have different goals than Chief Alfaro and clearly different than.
What we did was I took a form that's widely used in the Air Force. That's my background. It's an airline performance report. And I sat down with it and I went through. There's 30 goals at the employee, at the worker level, and an additional 6 goals at the supervisor level. So I went through the Air Force, street police in the Air Force, and I went and modified each of those 36 goals to fit what I wanted my police officers to do. And that is the form that I have been using for 8 to 10 years.
So that's what I'm just curious, because is it attainable? Like if you gave somebody a goal, would you be able to tell whether or not they attained it or not?
Absolutely, because I include things like volunteerism, community, how many, all these community events. How often do I see officers?
Track it though? Like are they tracking it back to you so that when they sit down they can say, Chief, I did this?
Well, we sit down and we talk with each one, and there's an opportunity for dialogue.
But during the actual, it's not like a progression all year long up into the point of the.
What we do throughout the year is we acknowledge.
Okay.
I still, even after as long as I've been the chief, I made a point to be in the booking area and shift change just to say, hey, thanks for what you did today. Shake hand. When they do good, I acknowledge it. Now, it may not always be in writing and run up a flagpole, but. And if you look at the lieutenant and the sergeant and the corporals, everybody has, I don't write Officer Fadiz's evaluation, okay? Officer Fadiz's immediate supervisor, which I believe is Corporal Lackey, writes the evaluation. And then there's a spot for the patrol supervisor, which is Sergeant Sherlock, to add comments. There's a spot for me to add comments. And the form is even built in for a senior rater or reviewer. So at some point, if it were to go to the city manager's desk, she has an opportunity to make comments. And throughout the year, when there are deficiencies, we note it with the officer. And again, sometimes it's a slap on the back, I'll pull them aside and say, hey, what you did went wrong, but it wasn't right. Next time, try it this way. Not everything has to be documented on paper. So there is a constant, we don't bring them in and do an evaluation weekly, monthly, quarterly. There is that daily dialogue between the supervisors to let the officers know how they're doing.
So that's why I was asking. So there is, it's tangible. So, I mean, it could be tied to a percentage if it had to be, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
The
whole skill, and if it was merit-based, then yes, we could track it to and measure it.
Right.
But, and right now.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen before budget because, those are not to change all of that because it is, that's quite a chore. I understand that part of it just because of what I do. So
I was going to say, if I can, Chief Boyce and I have the one that we use basically concurrently. It pertains to both of us. But I will say that when I first got it, the evaluation that Monique gave us, we kind of looked at it because it was a self-evaluation. I've never seen that in my life. But what I'm saying is when I first saw it, I was like, wow, okay. So, it has questions on there that you have to fill out. Well, it was really cool because I started thinking about it and, what have you done and this and that. And it's like, I've done this. You start thinking about stuff that you didn't even remember that you've done.
Well, that's why I was asking.
And so I'll give her kudos in that at first it was like, I don't know about that, but her evaluation to give to us for us to do a self-evaluation, I think that was.
not uncommon because like I said, where I work, obviously it's not municipal, but every one of us has to do a self-evaluation. Yeah. I mean, from our, you know, warehouse to our drivers, everybody has to do one. So, and then that's why that you have a part in, you actually have a part, but ours is on the computer and it can be tracked. That's why I was asking if it, yours was trackable, like those pieces.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of self-evaluations, but not because I don't think the employee is going to be honest, but as it turns out, it goes beyond the self-evaluation. At least in my experience, a lot of times it turns out it's just the employee doing his own evaluation, and the supervisor gets it. Yep, you're right. Done.
Oh, see, no, ours doesn't.
Part though, yeah, you have.
Well, that's just saying, and I only say that because ours doesn't allow that. Like, I can't just use my employees and say, oh, yep, that's it. I mean, I actually have to evaluate what they're doing, and then I have to pick that piece apart. So I was just curious as to whether or not, but I think it's important for employees to have a part in their evaluation and not just, you know, say, oh, that's what he said about me. No, I don't think that. That's why I was just asking if it was something, because then it's still.
Our chief and I use, there's ample opportunity for them to.
There is. And I've done like Chief Boyce does. You know, I have my three captains do their, you know, their subordinates or the ones that work for them. And then I look at everything, and then I go through and I look at the captains, because there's been times, and there has, whether you want to call it a friendship, whatever it is, that I'll get an evaluation and I'm looking at them, because I look at all of them, because I have to turn it into a lead. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, he got, I'd say, not necessarily exemplary, but, you know, it was good or it was satisfactory or whatever. And I was just like, really? You know, because and then I'll go back to the captain and it's like, hey, you wrote this for this. Yeah? Can you explain to me why you put that? Because I can give you two or three reasons why it shouldn't be that. But I want to hear what you need to say.
Which
you know,
is,
so
right.
So there's a dialogue going everywhere here. It's like, if we need to bring the person in, we'll bring the person in so I can explain to them why I told you that you need to lower that.
Well, that's why I was asking you if it was tangible, because if it's not tangible, then a percentage to it wouldn't work anyway.
The way we do it with that particular form, let's say Officer Edwards, okay, because I don't have an Officer Edwards. So Officer Edwards, in my opinion, is a substandard performer. If Sergeant Sherlock is his immediate supervisor, they've got a buddy thing going off inside, the fishing buddies or whatever. And Sergeant Sherlock says, well, you know, Officer Edwards walks on water, he does this, he does that, great. And I'm going to look at it, and it's like, there's an opportunity. I will not force a supervisor to change his evaluation, but if I see something I don't agree with, and I can provide examples in the past that we've turned in, okay, you're telling me this officer is the best officer in the whole wide world, but what about this, what about that? And in my section, as a senior raider, I can say, okay, you know, I can basically call the shenanigans on that type of buddy system. Don't worry about it. You know, we'll talk about it while we're fishing, and you've got a good review, okay? And then additionally, like I said, there is an opportunity on the city manager, when she sees them all, if she sees something that she doesn't agree with, and she just may do the reversal. You know, I don't agree with Chief Boyce's assessment, Officer Edwards walks on water. So there is a system of checks and balances built into the form. But you are right, it does require serious, honest input. Okay? And if my fishing buddy is Sergeant Sherlock, it can still happen in some agencies. I'm comfortable to say it's not happening in our agency, and if the fire chief is using the form the way it was intended, which I believe he is, because he and I have gone over the form when we took my form, and then we went and modified his goals to make it, you know, fire relevant to the fire department and EMS and what his people are doing. I don't think that, or I can't say the favoritism is not happening at the lower levels, but the system of checks and balances are there to counteract.
So are the goals made by September 30th? So moving October 1st to then September 30th? So then
yes. Oh. Yeah. And so, you know, again, if that's the direction that we want to go, I want to revise the evaluation system for every department so that it's more focused on
specific things that are trackable to the year. Like we can look at somebody's monthly report and say,
right,
okay, this is these.
That's why I said, because it has to be attainable, it has to be trackable, it has to be tangible, and you have to be able to put some kind of percentage or number. You know,
because I wouldn't want to go back to the situation where, yeah, he just wrote up a really great report, and I want to give this person 7%. No. So I wanted to say, okay, I'm looking at this column, and this person, I don't know, however we're going to say it, oh, they wrote X number of tickets, these cases. You know, it just has to be things that...
Right. And the reason that I honestly like self-evaluation, though, it also helps you know where your employees are coming from. And it also, like, you know, if somebody doesn't like to toot their horn, it also makes them like, oh, okay, this is what I did. Or then if somebody's doing, you know, using the form correctly, if they're slacking, then it also makes them realize, you know what, I could have done this. So, I mean, I think self-evaluation part of it is actually not a bad thing for anyone, but I don't know that we would be able to roll that out before September unless y'all were, you know, if y'all could get all those pieces together, but... I'm not a fan of this piece of it anyway. But.
So then, let me ask this, because we would still have to have pay ranges, I think, you know, for every department, even if we went that route, so that we have some negotiating ability. And that's really my biggest concern with the current pay scale, is that it's so absolute, step by step, that we're challenged there. And I'll give, you know, just one example. Look at the water department. I think that's probably the easiest one to explain. So, like, if you look at a water utility worker, you're starting pay. And then the way it's set up, there's, like, the different licenses. But we rarely have a situation where we try to hire somebody and all they have is a license D or a C license or whatever. We've had a situation where we have an employee who might have a CEO, 3 water licenses, and a customer service inspector's license, and 20 years of experience. And there's nowhere on the scale for me to fairly be able to offer them a salary. So those are some of the challenges that, you know, we're met with this scale, and that's why I really want to
see it.
Well, that was kind of like both of us, let me say CDL. Both of us could have a CDL, and both of us would get this amount.
Right.
But maybe she does much better than I do, and so, but it's okay because, you know what, she's going to get the same thing I am, so why am I going to go above and beyond?
Right.
Or why is she going to go above and beyond?
Because I'm the bomb digger.
Well, it puts you all in a pigeonhole.
We don't have them now.
No, we don't have them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, currently, why would you? Like, why? I mean, if you were that employee that you're talking about, you know, that subpar, why would you? There's nothing to make you want to work any harder, or especially if you're at the tail end of it and you've achieved the highest amount that you can. The only thing you know you're going to look forward to is your longevity.
Yep.
And that's it.
I agree.
Cost a little.
Well,
I've got a couple of guys like that right now. Even on that pay scale, they maxed out where they can ever go.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. But that person that maxed out doesn't necessarily mean that that person has given the city all they can give.
Yeah.
It could mean that they have, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have. And at that point, they're like, well, why should I try any harder? I've been here for 9 years, and that's all I'm going to get. So, you know what? I'm just going to sit here, wait for... hope the council passes at least the COLA and I get my longevity. I'm just going to wait it out. I'm waiting for retirement or whatever. I'm waiting for the next best thing to come along. Whatever it is, I mean, there's just nothing to, there's no incentive anyway. I mean, personally, I mean, if that can be implemented with those, for every department, if those evaluations, and they could have high a percentage, I think that it would actually be a more welcome thing than just realize that you can achieve a certain, a certain rank, if you will.
Well, it's kind of like being in the military. If you just stay, you're going to get promoted. It just happens.
You pass your test.
And you got to take tests and everything else.
Well, it used to be, even you didn't even just have, just if your body was there.
Now you actually have to pass tests and get to rank. And if you don't, you don't get that.
Nope.
So your people go away.
You miss it 6 months again, you get to try again. You miss it again, then it's another year wait. So you got to go through your physical, mental evaluations, and everything else for that.
I just point something out too with the chief. Now, if you're going to change departments or you apply, it is a 22-page application. I don't care. Just like when I filled out one recently, I had to go all the way back to high school. There's companies I was with, they're gone, and you can't call anymore. You have to physically go and put a person to every place that's listed. I could not believe it.
Is that something that y'all think would be welcome?
Oh, it's there.
The
merit increases?
Yeah.
I think if an employee, if we had some sort of pay scale that defined a starting pay, if we had, this is, and not just, you know, like what Monique was saying, if I'm looking at an employee right out of the academy with no experience, you know, his certification level is, I call it pre-basic or probationary. TCOL doesn't have a term for it.
No.
Okay. So if you're a probationary officer right out of the academy versus somebody who's got 5 years of experience, has an intermediate, maybe is a crisis intervention trained officer, certified officer, I think we need to have a pay scale
range.
Or range for starting pay, but maybe if the best thing would be to do everything else, you know, still hope that council could pass some sort of COLA at the end of every fiscal year, but then at some point during the year, merit increase that's tied back to performance.
There you go. Makes sense.
So, you know, is when I had a lot of problems at the my employees, when that the step chart that you're looking at was first rolled out, they were under the impression, as was I to a degree, that okay, I'm right here on year one, and year two I'm automatically going here, and then year three I'm automatically going here, and they thought every year there was going to be some sort of step increase.
And if you look at it, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yep, yeah. Exactly.
So they're not faulted in that thinking, because that's exactly what
right.
It says. If you have this certification, then you should get this regardless. I mean, regardless of what year you go up.
I haven't seen what the fire chief or public works have come up with, but my new step chart was nothing like that. It's only broken into three steps, and there's a range, you know. On step one, depending on the number of years of experience you've got, and what your skill and experience level is.
So how hard would that be for y'all to have like a department head meeting to get something like that together?
I mean, because again, the biggest change was going to be going from the year step by step to the ranges, because that way it gives you a better opportunity to offer someone a job, starting pay based on the experience, the skills, and qualifications that they're bringing to the position. And then they're not looking at it thinking, in 12 months, I'm going to go right here for doing absolutely nothing. You know, we have some leeway.
And like I said, and the only reason I said to have the same idea, but clearly the goals aren't going to be the same, is because at my job, the salespeople goals are obviously way different than administrative goals. There's no way that I'm not trying to do 10% over last or whatever it is. Just the same as I would assume that Public Works isn't going to be doing something that chiefs are going to expect from theirs. You know? So, I mean, I think it all has to be the same, you know, as far as right, the percentages.
Well, you have the exceptions for the department.
But it'll have to be, and even administrative, I mean, it'll have to be tuned into that piece of it, because obviously your goals are going to be way different than anybody else's.
I don't think that would be hard to do. I mean, I think it would be better building positions and retaining people.
And I mean, if you had a range too, even if you did say, let's just say at the low end, what was it, 1288? Let's just say that. But if Chief had $1,288 to $15,
there you go.
Then he could say, okay, well, I know this is what we normally start them at. However, if this person has this, this, and this, I can do this. And then it's still within the budgetary that we made, so it's not like he's going to be over budget or somebody's going to say, oh my gosh, you know, what happened there? But then it also allows y'all to.
I think some of that I would have to be careful on the economy made is the sales, and my wife's in sales as well, and every year her goals are you've got to increase your profit margin by 8%.
Right. That's why I used to
say that. I really have to be very, very careful on putting a percentage to anything.
Oh no, no, I wasn't talking. So no, yeah. I meant so, my goals. Like I can't. In my role, I don't make money as far as, like, I don't sell anything. So I can't be 10% over last. But that's what I said, but just, like, Gilbert's step is going to be way different.
They say they have to fight 10 fires a week. I mean, yes. That's not, you can't do that.
You I mean, attendance, that. You have to be here. You can do
that
attendance.
That means a lot of fires.
That's what I was just talking to William about.
I mean, attendance.
You know, the evaluation stuff now, which that's what I was telling him. You know, I can take into account now, because we always have, not necessarily an ongoing problem, but I'll say it's an ongoing problem, with completing reports. You know, then filling out the reports. William and I are constantly on these guys. You have to finish your report. It has to be there. Well, now that's tied to the thing. Hey, you get during the year less than X amount, or you turn in this late, and now it starts ending.
That's what I'm
so
saying.
Now it starts hurting.
Right, but that's what I'm saying, but it also allows you.
You're making it a real thing now with money attached to it.
Exactly.
You put
now
money to like anything, it works.
Yeah, you know, attendance, stuff like that,
yep.
Late, tardiness, all that stuff counts now.
Yep.
So they could be in time to the evaluation.
You said an evaluation system that would give milestones and goals, and then
right.
You go through it, it would be very descriptive, and then for each one, it had a layout per position, and then you had, you know, meet, does not meet, general needs, you know.
Well, that's what I said. Ours has a progression bar, and ours is done every. That's why I was asking if y'all meet.
So based on that, you get that percentage at the end, and then at the end, based on what they have, then you set goals for them. And then if it is the end of the year as opposed to the 6 months, well, at the end of the year, you go over those goals, and then that's when the documentation and everything comes into play. Where, you know, okay, I gave him a coaching, I gave him a write up, but he doesn't come in on time. So the documentation on our part means a lot. So whenever they say, hey, I'm a great employee, why did I get this? Why did I get this? Right here. Why did I get this?
There's your three write-ups and there's the door.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But that's also where I said self-evaluation comes in as well.
But it's also
right?
Hard to.
When people look at that.
Well, you know, and your point. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, what I was saying too is that the problem, and I'm not saying we're going to run into this, but what I have seen before is if, like y'all were talking about before, this amount right here, this is what you have, so you've got a budget. So if you have all top performers and you can give them 5%, but you only have enough to give two of the top performers out of 10, 5%, then you start looking at that, oh wait, it's favoritism, or what justifies you giving this above me?
Oh no, that's why I said I don't think it should be that. I don't think each department should have this. I think that it should be based on that, whatever goal range y'all come up with, that's what it should be based on, so that it isn't that. And then, of course, I'm presuming that you see everybody's, so in ours, HR sees everybody's, but so whoever sees it, then there's an oversight there, so if that person has a question, they can contact the department head and say, hey, what about this? There's a, you know, is this really what it's supposed to be? I mean, like I said, I just think that it gives the employee the ownership back, but it also gives the managers the ability to manage.
Well, I would tell you that
this year, what I did, I sat them down, I evaluated them, then I sat them down in my chair and I sat their chair, I told them to evaluate me, and that actually helped at the time with morale and continues.
And that's what I'm saying, but that's also what the self-evaluation does as well, where you actually know where people are coming from.
I will tell you this, the self-evaluation, believe it or not, a person presents themselves one way, but a lot of times you would be amazed. Like when I was out at Boeing and I had like 45 guys, and you get the real boisterous guys, and you get a self-evaluation, all of a sudden you find out these guys really, because they know you know, you know? And you start reading this, and it's like, well, okay, I mean, I see that you got your chest puffed out, but you really do tell the truth. It's It's amazing sometimes. I'm not saying that that's always, but to me it was, I couldn't believe something. When I sat down and started going through this, it was like, really?
So how long do you think that,
I mean.
We can work on that. I would like to have it implemented for the start of the fiscal year. We can do that.
Okay. I mean, I just, like I said, I don't want to put any unrealistic task on
staff. But I just think the sooner the better, because again, we got to keep going with what we have until we get there, so I think it'd be best.
Well, I think the thing is to tweak as you can. Yeah.
So then how hard would it be once we got to that point that we just scrub this so that, because I'm presuming that you're going to have to try to find out the happy medium in there to say, okay, now everybody's at this point for that evaluation piece of it.
It's a 180 turnaround.
We put the draft together and then we'd have to come up with
it. I'm just saying, like, just say that if somebody, let's say somebody can make up to 5%. Since we don't know who that one person is, you would literally have to go through those dollar amounts and say, okay, this person could, and figure that within the budget so that you would never be over budget. And it doesn't mean that you're stopping someone, you know, that, oh, that we have five people and I've only got this. Everybody could get to this goal, I mean, could get this percentage, but we still have to work it in annually, yes. But it may, you know, that person may not make that percentage.
Well, the truth of the matter is, part of the average is you're going to come in under, more likely under as opposed to over. More than likely, if you base it on 100% participation.
Well, I mean, if everybody's honest, then yes.
That's what I'm saying.
You probably would.
And just by average. Because you know one thing, I don't care how large or small, the guys know, your people know who does what. And trust me, I've seen little asides to where, oh, really? You know, things get not handled, but people evaluate themselves, and they know if you start bragging, they're going to set you down real quick. So that's why I say people are, that was the first time I was exposed to that.
So we will go back and work on that process. Bring back some numbers.
I think it's great.
Concepts. Now, do we have any other feedback on any of the recommendations?
Oh, your list? No, I think it's good. Because here's the thing, if we change this situation, then everything on that piece of paper is workable.
I mean, we're still going to have, regardless, I mean, we're still going to have to go through this.
We're
going to
have to wait until we set time. If we change this thought process and this process, then that's going to change how the budget works.
Well, we just kind of wanted to get consensus on what to include and not include, because then we're about to start working on the actual cost and putting that, building that into the budget. So,
well, you know, do the wish list as it is and see how it frames to what, how it comes out with this new type of pay or scale.
But everybody has a different, I mean, Chief Alfaro and Gilbert also have a different starting pay too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We would build these in based on.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So.
So it's still beans and franks. We haven't gone up the stakes yet.
As well, just bring it all back because it really is going to change.
It
that's
is.
What I'm saying, but I would also, so that they can also put their range, what range they'd like to see.
I like that idea too, the range thing. That works. And as a guy gets more proficient.
Even if it is this starting, then would it be feasible to go to this amount?
Yeah.
Fire, if y'all just want to explain the one piece you had about certification pay, you want to just cover that?
Certification.
You didn't have to go back to the corner. We'll let you sit here with the big guys.
And just kind of why, rationale about some of those things.
Was that the only piece that you had with your pay stuff? Was the starting?
For this presentation was just
the
increase in the starting pay.
Okay.
And then the yes.
Okay.
there's so many parameters that are affected by someone's certification, whether they come in. Basically, if you come in as a firefighter, you have to be a basic firefighter, and you also have a basic EMT. You have to in the state of Texas. But then I also have people that are employed by us that are just basic EMTs without a firefighter. So they need a certificate. So then an EMT that's just an EMT needs a rating. Then you have a firefighter. Okay, well, there's a firefighter, and he can be a basic EMT. But then you have a firefighter that can also be an intermediate EMT. Different grade. There's a firefighter that can be a paramedic. It's a different grade. So we kind of broke it up. Actually, William was working on it. And, you know, there's a lot of different, like I said, there's a lot of different classifications when you get into the fire service. You know, you have a fire officer one, you have a fire officer two, fire officer three, fire officer four, inspector one, two, three, the investigator one, two, three. I mean, there's so many, you know, we were talking about it when we talked about the money. You know, it's like I could have probably four pages of qualifications or classifications, and to come up with something for all this is just absolutely crazy, you know, because there's so many different facets. You may have an intermediate firefighter who's a paramedic that's a basic inspector, but that's a master firefighter or something like that. You know, there's so many different.
And you have hazmat.
Yeah. I mean, there's all different types of stuff. So does each thing warrant an increase, a merit, something like that? Well, we feel that it does. But when you get to that, I mean, like I said, we're going to talk about 6 or 8 pages of stuff. So it's actually crazy. So we have to get to, I guess we need to boil it all down to get to something basic. So we had that before that we showed to Monique, and we were all of us here in agreement, like, you know, this is way crazy because it's going to go off the chart, you know. So we did ourselves also, we had come up with a, with a set pay or a scale also. In talking to Monique and going over it, kind of like Chief Boyce, it was like instead of coming up with the individual, you know, basic firefighter, basic EMT, basic firefighter, intermediate EMT, basic firefighter, paramedic, intermediate firefighter, basic, intermediate paramedic. Instead of coming up with all those, we went to a range. We talked to Monique about it, and we decided on a range. A basic firefighter EMT starts off at 10:30 an hour. Okay? Well, that's a basic firefighter EMT. If you get a firefighter that's a paramedic, who will be the lead guy on an ambulance and all that stuff, they start off at 10:32. There's no difference. Now, the paramedic is a man that's in charge of the ambulance, doing the MICU care, the whole deal. And he gets the same as the basic EMT. There's never been a deviation in that. That's why we're trying to make a range. We came up with a range starting at 10:30 for a firefighter, basic EMT, going up to a firefighter paramedic with the range being of 10:30 to 11:97. So once again, the range is there. You can go from this, if he's a paramedic, hey, when you start on towards the higher range. Versus as the way it is now with our pay scale, you start off at 10:30 no matter what you are. And of course, these guys see it, and it's like, and I mean, they come to me, and you know, and I understand their plight. I mean, it is. They have a lot more experience, a lot more schooling, and they're getting the same thing the guy just got out of school yesterday. You know, and it's like, dude, and I'm like, I can't do anything about it, man. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I come and talk to Monique, and she understands, and she knows I plead my case, and she understands, and I also understand that there's only so much we can do. You know, and I'm like, according to the pay scale, the way it is, that's the way it has to be. You know, and then my guys, like you said, man, they looked at the pay scale and saw, oh, I've been here, you know, 7 years and this and that. I'm starting to, no, man, everybody starts back at this. What? That's the way it is with the pay scale, the way it is now. You know, so that's why we're kind of in accordance with what Monique said and kind of Chief Boyce also, as far as a range, you know, to implement ranges of stuff where you can start off depending upon your level of expertise or what you have, what you bring to the table, to put in some type of range, you know, range. I do think, like Chief Boyce said, and like y'all were suggesting, that the merit type stuff, you
are just medics anymore, right?
Well, we try not to.
Okay.
But once again, and it goes back to kind of like Chief Boyce echoing what he said. It's kind of like the amount that we offer starting out
right.
doesn't really give us any play in that. You know, when I have a neighboring ESD that I understand is tied to any city, they're always, you know, sole standing ESD. You know, but when they start off at, you know, $3.5-$4 more than I do an hour right off the bat, it's like, why don't you go here? I go down the road half a mile. They're going to pay me $4 more an hour. I can't do anything about it. You know, and that in itself also, same thing with, you know, we talked also about the part-timers, increasing part-timers. You know, the part-time pays very low. For a paramedic, it's even below, I think, probably the 1030. It's like 979 or something. For a paramedic coming in on a part-time basis, no benefits or nothing, they get less than the full-time employee started out. You know, and it's like the paramedics on the average in San Antonio, I don't have the survey. We could probably get something like Chief Voice had through ACOG and stuff. But I would say a basic paramedic even working at a Canadian without any fire certification, he probably starts off at $14 to $15 an hour. These guys are getting a part-time basis, you're getting $9.79. You know? So when I call them and ask them, could you come work? No, man, I have something else to do. Okay. So then what I have to do is I have to rely on my own people that are here, which of course drives up the overtime, the ODO, because nobody from the outside wants to come work for $9.79 an hour. But I don't have a choice. That's all I have. You know, graciously, we do have two or three paramedics that do help us out. They were volunteers here. They've gone to work other places, but they still maintain that tie with us as a volunteer. So they still have a somewhat loyalty to Kirby. They still come and help us. You know, but in all honesty, I mean, they do it as a favor to us because it's us, because it's the city, and because they started here. So they feel that loyalty. That's why they do it. It's not for the money. And they'll tell you that. So, you know, but those are my problems, you know, in fulfilling positions and stuff like that. We still maintain probably 7 or 8 volunteers that are with us. You know, we work aggressively to get these guys trained and in school and getting school, getting classification certifications, whether it be a fire cert or whether it be an EMS cert, because these guys are my resources since they're here that I have to tap into. You know, as soon as a position becomes available, I'll immediately go to one of my guys that's been here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, that are just looking to start out. And it's like, hey, you know, will you start out with us and this and that? And they're like, absolutely. You know, that's why we're here. We're hoping for that. So in that sense, it works out pretty good because we mentor these guys and we get these guys trained to our way. So it's a seamless transition when it comes in. They just roll right into it. So that's been very easy. And I think probably the last 3 or 4 people that we hired have all been people that have been volunteering with us and worked with us, whether reserve or volunteer, this and that, and they slide right in. And once again, it's the whole loyalty thing with Kirby. You know, I've had employees that worked with us, left for other places to get more money, got more money, didn't like it, came back to Kirby, took a pay cut just to come back because it's Kirby. Because they like this fire department, they like this city, they like the structure that's here in the whole deal. You know, so, I mean, I've had several employees do that. But as far as pay-wise, like I said, I think the step thing or the, you know, the scale-wise or with the ranges and stuff, I think that's probably a good thing. I do like the evaluation with, you know, proposed maybe merit increase. I think that's kind of good, too. We can work to something out or all of us work on a generalized. I know it has to be specific to each department, but kind of the basis of everything. And like I was saying, it would help me in my, like I was telling Wayne, it would help me. Now I can, like I said, I crack down on it now with state requirements that I have to have, whether it's ambulance check sheets, fire department check sheets, all types of stuff like that. But it gives me something to go back to them other than, you know, I'm going to slap you on the hand, I'm going to write you up, okay. At what point do I get to the point of how many riders do I get rid of them? I mean, I would like to, don't get me wrong, but then it's also, I kind of cut myself short too. You know, it's hard. Hard because I need these people, and it's hard to get people in here. You know, so we're struggle. You know, but I, like I said, I agree with what Chief Boy said and what Monique said, kind of going with this. I think if we can all work it out between us, I think it's a good deal. I just do. I think it's a good deal. I don't know if you have anything, William, you want to say.
No, I was just going to talk about the incentive that I put out. As part of the vote, the ACO, it was a certification and incentive. Right now, the EMT just walking off the street starts out at $979. We would look at, if I think y'all have the graph, no?
That we don't have anything except the old stuff. That's what I said. So
yeah, really, probably don't even have to go over there.
Yeah, kind of now. We're going to go the other way.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's kind of a moot point now. If we kind of feel we're going to go the other route, which we kind of agree with, I think it's kind of a, like I said, it boils down to the different, you know, like I said, we could break it into six pages of different stuff. You know, with a merit increase of whatever, you know, 3% for each step up the stuff. But it'd be just with all the different qualifications that these guys can attain.
And that was kind of my thing earlier too. It's just because you attain it doesn't necessarily mean you're utilizing it.
Correct.
Or you're putting it to use.
Correct.
You just sit there with it.
Correct.
While your other person is going to town.
Yes, ma'am.
job descriptions he revised them to make them real specific to that you have to meet these minimum qualifications to even be hired, because you know before we were hire them, give them a year to get the license, and when they still didn't get it, keep them. But we're at a point now, because we have all the licensed folks, we will only hire you with that minimum, and then the more you have, you can still fall higher in that range. Like the one guy we have right now who has three licenses plus the CDL, and he had more than 20 years experience.
Yes.
Yeah, so it would give us an opportunity for somebody like that. He wouldn't come in at 12:30. He could come in, you know, at the higher range.
Yeah,
and then not only that, too, we can, and that way the water department, at least we can attract employees such as him and retain them, and then also that helps as far as the culture and the way that department is run, and the other guys kind of feed off of it. So it's a positive thing, because in order to obtain those licenses, you have to think a
person, and it's not just a point of when you take those tests, you can't just really read the book. You have to have that hands-on experience because they change the wording and everything. These CCQ tests are extremely difficult. So going back to like what you were saying, if you hire people with licensure, so they're able to get a water license or a sewer license, they're usually that type of person. It's pretty straightforward. The steps that I have, like she said, are very specific and based on skill level. And skill level one is this description. Skill level two, you have to keep up this and add another one. Skill level three, you have to keep these two up and add a third one. So it's very specific and it's very to the point. And it has to do with you know, your attitude about work, your skill level, what your qualifications are license wise. I made it as specific as possible. That way you have, I can build, you know, my team the way I want it exactly. So, and hold them accountable, you know, when they do good, slap them back, you know, hey, here we go, next level. They don't, we've got a specific area right now. So.
I think it's for everybody, I think the range is though, when you have an applicant sitting in front of you, if you're not like, okay, I can only hire them at 12:08, or I can only hire them at 10:30.
You know, come now, people say, what's the start date? Say 10:30, click. Yeah. I mean, you know.
and it goes back to, you know, and again, like I said, or like we were talking about before, I mean, I don't think there's anybody up here who wouldn't want to start employees out at more, but then, you know, yes, these other departments or these other cities, but if you're doing, that's like apples to oranges because of the tax base and the revenue base that they're actually bringing in. I mean, that's, I mean, one of the things that people love about for me is because of emergency services, you have it, but at the same time, people pay for those emergency services, even if it doesn't seem like people pay or we're paying for those emergency services. I mean, that's, like we talked about, budget. So, I mean, so what? So, again, something's going to have to give in order to get those pieces in place.
Well, I do know. I know for us, you know, it's challenging. We talk about this in our meetings because, you know, one of our goals in the strategic plan has been employee retention. And we know the number one thing people want is to pay. No matter what we say, we have all these other benefits. Paid insurance that you don't get at most entities. That's great, but the person looks at it, they want to see it in their check. So on some level, I realize that there are going to be people who come in, will be good employees, and after 3 to 5 years, they are going to move on to an agency that can pay them more. And I can't hold them back from doing that. You know, but if they give us good work while they're here, that's a good thing. But it does cost us, you know, every time we turn over.
I just think, but I do think that having a STEP program like this enables mediocre performance.
Well, I will say this.
It enables it, and it also ties the department head's hands of awarding or rewarding another employee.
Well, an incentive service always does one. It does two things. It either inspires a person to do better or they leave. Because they're not gonna get any more. And that's why I like it, because if you get enough people and they say, okay, one guy can say, well, you know, he's getting it because he does a good job.
Right.
If I match his, I'm gonna get what he's got. Or I can move on. Right. And so it's own self retention is how it works. And I think that all of our department heads, yeah, they're pretty much on board with that. I think good idea. So
retaining quality.
Yep, you're right. Just get the street done, damn it. No.
So we will work.
I'm so going to kill that guy.
Run long, Mike.
I know.
I saw those cones laid out on the street.
So what else is there?
That is it. You all have given us some direction so we know what to go work on as we are preparing budgets.
I'm hungry.
I mean, is it feasible to do that? I really don't want to. I mean, to get
yeah, I mean,
that.
I think
it's important to, but again, I don't want to strap the department heads with trying to get that. And of course, it's going to, I mean, we're talking about department heads, but we have, you know, Tina was going to have to pull all that financial information as well, so.
Yeah, but you know what I think I see, though? It, straight up, they bought into it, which is a good thing, so they're going to do a better job with their people and bringing on better people, because it gives them a better toolbox.
No, that's just, that's talking about bringing it to us because for the budget, because
I got you.
Tina's going to have to pull lots of numbers because in order for
a lot of adjustment
head to have their starting range,
yeah,
she's going to have to play with the budget to.
And we've kind of done that, so we can put that together. I don't think that's going to be.
Okay.
Are you going to say Tina cooks the books?
No, that is right. Not what I said.
It's all excited.
There you go.
Budget.
Chief Alfaro, do you have anything else? Chief Boyce?
No, ma'am.
Gilbert?
No, ma'am.
All right, Tina? All right. Monique? All right, thank you, guys. Okay, so we are going to move to item 7, request and announcement. Councilmember Grant?
Can I go home?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
See y'all next Thursday.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Nada.
Councilmember Pierce.
Just what I said before about the cities, surrounding cities with their, what their yearly budget is, and then also to see their breakdown per department on those, because like I said, I bet it's not going to be as much as what everybody thinks it is. And if we stay towards something like that, then technically you're staying within the boundaries of all those outlying cities can pay. So the city of San Antonio has... What? I mean, you look at Shirt's budget alone.
I didn't want to know about Shirt's. I'm getting.
That's what I'm saying, though. But if you look at their fire department and their police department, their public works and everything else, how that pay scales break down into a percentage wise, then it's going to see a big difference.
I'm going to
change.
I'm quiet.
If it's feasible. I've already talked too much.
Oh. All right. So, Senior Center breakfast this Saturday from 8:30 to 10:30, and then there is a vaccination clinic at the animal shelter in the cul-de-sac from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Low-cost pet vac. You do not have to be a resident of Kirby to participate. And then after that, from 5 to 7 at the VFW, there is a steak dinner. And so that's what's happening, as far as I know, this weekend. So, okay. All right. Well, thank you for all your input. Thank you, Mr. Pittman, for coming.